What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
What's up, Austin?
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
We had a problem in the building here with our toilet system here.
Didn't work?
I sat and flushed, and it came. Everything came out.
Oh, yeah. The backfire.
It backfired. I've been dreading that day all my life, and it happened here. Only in this building could it happen, though.
You did the courtesy flush, and you got backfired on?
I got backfired on, yeah.
That is horrifying.
And I had to go to get the paper towels with my pants down. I had to wiggle walk over there, like the little kids. You don't need to laugh. It wasn't funny. That wasn't funny at all.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, and hornfm.com. With the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory!
Yeah, put it together. It's a Monday, B&E, the good, the bad, and the ugly on this Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. The Buck is back after his four-day weekend and trip to the coast and fish camp. Went to the coast this weekend as well. Son had a baseball tournament. Got down there, and I got the privilege, Buck, or maybe the terrifying thing. I got to go play golf at Palmilla Beach Golf Resort. It used to be Newport Dunes, right there just north of Mustang Beach, on right south of Port Aransas. The Arnold Palmer design. That's all. That's a lot of golf course, Buck. Slope rating of like 120 something from the backs, and it's very narrow. And it's link style, which likely they're going to play in the U.S. Open this weekend at Erin Hills in
Wisconsin.
Got to
know where to place the ball.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, you just having not played it before, it's just you're just not sure. So you're hitting with uncertainty because you're not sure where you want to be and where you don't want to be. But it was a great golf course. I would highly recommend it if you're ever down at the coast. It is fantastic. It's a great golf course. It's challenging, and the wind's blowing because it's right there on the coast. But it's fun.
I don't like being in the sand, and the fact that even when you're off the fairway, all those little prickly bushes and stuff have sand around them. Hitting shots out of that stuff.
It's actually a lot of fescue in like high grass areas, and it's a ball eater for sure. With the wind blowing very narrow.
So once it's off the fairway, see you later.
Oh yeah. No chance. Mm. And especially when you're driving up to the number one tee box and the snake slithers across. And you're like,
that's a good start.
Yeah, I'm probably not going looking for many golf balls.
That's why I always wear long pants. I very seldom wear shorts playing around a golf, even in the state of Texas. You always see me with, it's not that I get these skinny wheels. It's the fact that if I'm going in the woods, I'm not going in there with a pair of shorts on.
This guy says, how many balls did you lose? I lost quite a few balls.
And did you?
Normally on a course I know I can play with the same ball or two all round. I think I lost three balls on one hole. Like I thought on a par five on the back,
I hit
a tee shot that I thought was a really good tee shot, but because I didn't know where to land it.
Then you go back there and find out.
Oh, that was not where I wanted to be. Oh, man. But
I only hit it 190, so I don't have to worry about losing balls.
Palmilla Beach Golf. It was great. Great time. Formerly Newport Dunes. But so that was a good time. Let's fire up the headlines, get you caught up on your day and your morning in sports. You know what's going on. Ticket City Update Desk, it's how we do it. It's brought to you by Gas Logs Express and Barbecue Grills, and plenty of sports out there. How about the baseball this weekend? Texas Rangers finished off a three-game sweep of the Washington Nationals yesterday with a 5-1 win. Nats entered the weekend with the best record in the NL, but Rangers, too much for them. It was Austin Bibbins Dirks out-pitching Washington ace Max Scherzer in a 5-1 win. Texas now 10-2 in interleague play this year. They now head to Houston for three against the first-place Astros, who dropped a series to an NL West team for the first time this year. Angels came to town and took two out of three from Houston, won yesterday 12-6. Injuries starting to pile up now for the Astros. Four of their five starting pitchers on the DL right now. One of those starters will come back tonight to open the series with Texas, and that's Joe Musgrove. He'll make his first start since May 26, facing Yu Darvish. Houston still has a 12-game lead in the NL West. A rough Sunday for the Round Rock Express. Looked like a win, but then a six-run ninth inning. The difference, Oklahoma City roars back and beats them 10-7 in walk-off fashion. Express take the day off. They open a series in New Orleans tomorrow. College baseball. Seven of the eight teams are set in the field of the College World Series in Omaha. That field does include Texas A&M and TCU. Both won their Super Regionals over the weekend, 2-0. Aggies took down Davidson. Horned Frog, dispatch of Missouri State. They'll head to Omaha along with Florida State. Florida State took out the Bearcats of Sam Houston State. Cal State Fullerton took down Long Beach State, of course, who eliminated the Longhorns. LSU, Louisville, and Oregon State are all Omaha-bound as well. Only spot to be yet decided will happen today. Wake Forest facing Florida with a trip to Omaha on the line. In hockey, back-to-back now for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Sidney Crosby won his second straight Conn Smythe Trophy for MVP. Matt Murray made 27 saves last night as the Penguins win Game 6 in Nashville 2-0. First team to go back-to-back since 1998. And Sid the Kid, another Conn Smythe.
You know, we knew it was going to be tough all year, but we just tried to keep with it. We had a lot of injuries and things like that, so we just kept finding ways. That was really what we did all season, all playoffs, and it's great to be able to do it.
In soccer, the United States men's national team finished off a great week. They played Mexico to a 1-1 draw in Mexico City last night. Michael Bradley put the U.S. up 1-0, 6 minutes in the game, 6 minutes on a brilliant goal from 40 yards out. Really a thrilling goal, come out of your seat goal. Mexico's Carlos Vela tied it in the 23rd minute, but the U.S. still picked up a huge point, giving them 4 points this week in World Cup qualifying. In golf, U.S. Open on tap this week. Yesterday was Daniel Berger holding off Charles Schwartzel to win the St. Jude Classic by a stroke in Memphis. Our national championship tees off Thursday in Erin Hills, Wisconsin. Erin Hills Golf Club in Wisconsin, just north of Milwaukee. And the NBA Finals tonight. It is game number 5. Of course, there is a game 5 because it's Cleveland, and the Cavs made 24 three-pointers. That's a new record in the finals on their way to a 138-116 victory in game 4. They head back to Oakland now. Kevin Durant still one win away from a championship.
We just want to play a good game. You know, we can't worry about what happens after the game. We got to play from the beginning. So if we worry about just the first possession and go from there, then, you know, mentally we'll stay locked in. So, but if we start thinking too far down the line, then, you know, we take our focus off of the goal, the task at hand, and, you know, put it on the goal. And, you know, for us, we just got to stay locked in from the beginning.
Kevin Durant, game five tonight, 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock on the tip time, and that's the news.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Gas Logs Express and Barbecue Grills.
You know, talking about Bob Stoops and his departure from college football and, I guess, retirement, because he wasn't forced out. It was just time, I think, for him, and he's put a lot of time in this game. And, you know, growing up in a football family and a coaching family and knowing that your father died as a high school coach because, I mean, stress level's high, even for him. In this cupcake Big 12 where he owned it for so long and winning a national championship, there are people disappointed in Bob Stoops coaching at Oklahoma at times. You know, big game Bob and the whole works. It's just, if Charlie Strong would have been back here as coach again, Bob Stoops probably wouldn't have retired.
Ooh.
He probably would have said, nah, give me another year
Charlie
to own this
Strong
deal.
Did provide Bob Stoops his last Big 12 loss. The last Big 12 game Bob Stoops lost was to Charlie Strong. Remember that game, year two for Charlie. Texas won at 24-17.
Was that Deontay Foreman going nuts
and all that stuff? Yeah, but the best 60-minute game that Charlie Strong team played at Texas.
Yes.
But then they ran the table and won the Big 12, and then this year they went undefeated in the Big 12 after there was two early losses to Houston and Ohio State. There's just not enough known yet. I mean, for Bob Stoops, I mean, I disagree with you. I don't think he's running from Tom Herman or he's afraid of Tom Herman, which I don't think that's what you're saying. You're saying that you know, it's a young man's game, and,
yes,
and Tom Herman's coming in with a lot of brash, with a lot of vision.
Gritty.
There's just not enough. I mean, what I heard from Bob Stoops was it was just time. It sounds, when I read between the lines, like things had grown a little bit stale and, you know, it's time to move on, and the program's in great hands, and here's Lincoln Riley. But there's so much. I mean, I know this, in the state of Oklahoma, and maybe it's just fans and media, they don't believe the story. They think there's something more to it, they don't know what that is. I don't either. But either way, Bob Stoops is no longer the coach at Oklahoma.
I mean, he made it through a season with Joe Mixon and all that stuff going on. He made it through this season. I don't know.
Right. Well, I think all that wears on you.
Sure does.
You know, Bob Stoops, and for anybody, you know, the people that would criticize Bob Stoops, and there were, you know, I guess there were some times where it was uneasy, but in 18 years, the man won 10 conference championships and played for 4 national championships.
And they still weren't satisfied there.
Right. Well, that's shame on them.
I shouldn't say that. The majority of them at Oklahoma were really satisfied. You know, there's that small minority of, you know, people that you keep hearing that from. That's everywhere, though.
That's being a victim of your own success, right?
Yes, like Mac Brown was.
Well, yeah, when you say it big picture, Mac Brown won 2 Big 12 championships. 2.
I know.
This guy won 10 and played for 4 national titles. He went 1-3 in those games, so people hold that as some type of mark. But as I said, he lost to Nick Saban by a touchdown. He lost to Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow, one of the better Florida teams, one of the better teams we've seen in a long time. Charlie Strong as the defensive coordinator. They lost that game by 10 points. And the one that they got smashed was by Pete Carroll's USC team. That's one of the best college football teams
in a long
time.
Oh, hell, the one that he won, people are thinking he should never have been there.
Well, he beat Bobby Bowden.
I know.
I mean, those are the some of the greatest
but
coaches.
Wasn't that one of those, how did Oklahoma get in here deals? I mean.
No, OU should have been there. It was Miami who should have been in over Florida State. So right. A lot of people will say, OU was not going to beat that.
Oh, yeah, so he beat the great Bobby Bowden then instead of Miami.
Right. And Larry Coker at Miami at the time. And, you know, Bob, that was Bob Stoops' year two. I mean, that was, I told the story last week when you weren't here, when we had Bob Stoops on the show every week, remember?
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was, you know, just things you
we
do.
We were in a learning process.
Things you do. Yeah, but it turned out to
hey,
be.
Hey, Mac didn't want to come on with us. Mac didn't want to be. What are we going to do?
We're
just starting a show. We had to have a dynamic person to come on, and the head coach of Oklahoma. And that's why, guess what? And Bob Stoops isn't going to Aggie land. He's not going to go from being a Sooner to an Aggie.
Well, year two, he was a little, nobody knew much about Bob Stoops. He was a second-year coach.
Yeah, dude just happened to win a national championship.
We didn't know he was winning the national title. How do we know that?
Plus, Mac had the mafia that day, and we had a meeting, and
Mac went from liking us to not liking us after they lost
in a hurry.
And we said
in a hurry.
And, you know, in a hurry. But that's okay. But so who knew there? Bob Stoops wins a championship, and that's where the criticism comes, if there was any for Bob Stoops, was you win a championship year two, and you never win another one, right? You never get back and get to the mountaintop. Now, you played three other times, but again, when you're Nick Saban, he played Nick Saban and LSU in New Orleans, so essentially a home game for LSU. He then played Florida in Florida.
That's right.
Against Tim Tebow and company, and he then lost in that game in Miami, Pete Carroll and company. That was a great USC team. We all know that. And that was maybe the best defensive team that Pete Carroll had. They won 55 to whatever the final was in that national title game.
Oh, that was a beatdown.
I mean, I'll say this for anybody that would criticize Bob Stoops for whatever, wasn't enough. Every Texas fan listening would take that. You tell me 18 years from now, Tom Herman's going to have 10 Big 12 championships and a national title and four appearances in the title game. You better jump at that.
Now?
Yes.
You jump at that
yes.
right now?
Yes,
of course
please,
you would.
Thank you. Because if you put yourself in a position to win four national titles, you know, Mack Brown, if not for Bob Stoops, who knows how many Big 12 championships he would have had. You know, Mack Brown played for a national championship in 05 and in 09. It was really the 10 Rose Bowl. If in 2001, if they had held on and won the Big 12 championship game, beaten Colorado, they would have played for a third. So that was a pretty good run for Mack Brown. Played for two, almost a third. So through his recruiting cycles, pretty much each one played for a championship or had the chance to play for a national title. 2001, 2005, 2009, Bob Stoops played for four and only won one. So same number of championships, but the consistency of Bob Stoops. The question is, why did he leave? Why now? I mean, that's what everybody keeps asking. He said it was time. You know, which leads to people like us saying, well, is he going to come back? Is this a year off? Is this
I don't think it is. I think the guy's just retired.
Or is this, yeah, his father died on a football field at 54, had a heart attack, and died on the way to the hospital.
So there are no other Stoops on that staff now, correct?
Mike is.
Mike is still there?
Yeah, he's the defensive coordinator.
Damn, he didn't get the gig.
Went to the guy that, I mean,
33-year-old guy who was coaching wide receivers a couple years ago.
That's what makes it weird. If you believe Lincoln Riley, he was told 3 hours before the press conference that he was going to be the new coach at Oklahoma. And if you saw the press conference, he seemed a bit overwhelmed.
Well, from originally when I found out, I was thinking there must be some health reasons.
That he said no. Bob Stoops said no. I could coach this year perfectly fine. He just wants to get away.
Just tired of it. That's all. Just tired.
But see, isn't it weird that, okay, I'm stepping down.
And then there's Tom Herman. Tired, and then there's Tom Herman, who has all this energy.
Well, you know, Joe Castiglione, and look, give Joe Castiglione this, the OU AD. I mean, they've won. Their athletic department is cooking. I mean, they just won the softball national championship. They won golf. They won both gymnastics, men and women. I mean, they're doing pretty well in their athletic departments. And Oklahoma just won the Big 12 championship again this year in football. Only thing that's been down for them was basketball, but they were in the Final Four
last year, previous
with Buddy Hield.
Right.
But so it's just weird that again, if you listen to Lincoln Riley, he didn't even have to interview for the gig, right? Mike Stoops didn't get a look at it. I mean, it was really, they're handing it to Lincoln Riley at 33 years old, and even he didn't know until the afternoon that it happened.
But they said, we need you to go compete against Tom Herman.
Which
get
you
your
think,
Twitter
going.
Get
on?
Twitter going. Isn't that right, BK? The battle of the Twitter world right now. Social media, recruiting, the whole works.
It'll be all right. OU will be, they'll be all right.
No, they won't. What are you talking about? That guy's never coached a
head coach. Is this a Cliff Kingsbury situation? Remember Cliff Kingsbury got the Texas Tech job?
Oh, remember that?
Having never coached before. But Cliff had to build and assemble a staff, and he hired a bunch of his old teammates.
And plus, he doesn't get the
buddies.
Players that Oklahoma gets.
Oklahoma, the coaching staff is set. The cake is baked. They're keeping all their coaches together.
Well, they got a baked cake, too, there?
Yeah. And that's one of the things Bob Stoops said at his press conference. He says, look, I feel like I'm handing this thing off at the right time. I've got a veteran team with a sixth-year quarterback. Lincoln's a young coach, but he's going to do a great job. The staff is in place. There's consistency in the program, and it'll just keep on rolling.
So, BK, their cake is already made. They don't have to worry. They don't have to go to the store and pick up any ingredients.
It's already there, man.
Baker Mayfield.
They got Mayfield. I mean, they lost a lot of ingredients off the kick. They lost their two top running backs, top receiver, and a lot of talented players on that defense. But I still think they're the favorites to win the Big 12 Conference. A lot of people, I think you guys kind of agree, Oklahoma State seems to be the front runner, if you will.
I would say they are.
I'm still OU until proven otherwise.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, I hope I'm wrong. And if you're a Texas fan, you know you need OU to be good. We all know where this conference is going, but just for the short term,
you need
this
Oklahoma State to be good. One of these years, quit messing around and getting close. You need them to be good.
You need Texas and Oklahoma to be good. Now, of course, second Saturday of October every year, you want to beat OU at the Cotton Bowl. That'd be great. But Oklahoma needs to be good for this conference to be good. And now, hopefully, Texas is right back on track. Well, the Big 12 can get some respect.
Texas with 9 wins, everything's good, right? We're back on track, correct?
Sure. I mean, I think with 9 wins, and gosh, that's a 4-game jump from where they've been the last couple of years. And I think there's players there, but Tom Herman's got to go put it on the field. That says, guys, I'm only 39 and tired of my job. If you gave me the opportunity to walk away and enjoy life, I would in a second. Seems pretty obvious to me why I left. Don't read too much into it. And that's possible. Look, I'm not embracing any – I just think he's going to coach again. Here's what I'll give Bob Stoops credit for. He's going out on his own terms. He wasn't pushed out.
No.
He's not. You know, Mack Brown was hanging on by his fingernails trying to keep the Texas job.
Bob Stoops wasn't begging for his job.
No. But see, if Mack Brown had left after the 2010 Rose Bowl like the plan was, he would have left on his own terms, and he probably would have gotten another big job. I firmly believe had Mack Brown walked a couple years later.
If he wanted to coach again? Of course, yes.
Of course he would have. And that's where Bob Stoops sits. And he's at about the same age that Mack Brown was, about 56 years old. Nick Saban's 65. Pete Carroll's more than 65. Bill Snyder's 75. You can get yourself, have good health and coach in this game. But that's what I think is going to happen is that Bob Stoops was just grew a little stale. Maybe the Joe Mixon stuff kind of wore him down, whatever. I mean, all of it that goes into coaching big time college football.
There's no doubt about the Joe Mixon thing wearing him down for a year.
Right. And so when the batteries recharge,
through his own fault. I mean,
but my belief is he's a football coach. His father was a football coach. His brothers are all football coaches. A year from now, when jobs start opening and people start calling, his batteries are recharged. He comes down to Horseshoe Bay and plays golf with Bobby Jack Wright. He does some fishing. They go to his house out there.
The football coach has given over 30 years of coaching. 30 years of your life.
But coaches are coach. Coaches coach. That's what they do.
Not if you make $80 million, you can say
that's
good.
True.
I mean, if you,
that's true. It's
there's a lot of
different
coaches coaching for some, to support their families. That guy's made about $80 million. He's not coaching because he needs the cash. He's walking away right now from, what, $6, $7 million this year?
Oh, yeah.
He's just saying bye to $7 million. If Charlie was here, he'd go, you know what? I think I'm going to collect on that $6 or $7 again for another year.
Well, Texas is paying Charlie.
Oh, that's right. Let's not forget about that.
Coach at South Florida. It says, remember in 08, Texas, not OU, should have played for the Big 12 title and national title, but got hosed. Mac should have played for 4 national titles. Well, that would have been 3. That would have been 3. And you're right. I mean, that was the Colt McCoy year where in 08. That was the 08 team was actually better than the 09 team that actually played for the national title and lost to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
The 08 team, we all remember, that was the Texas, Oklahoma, Texas Tech roundtable and Big 12 rankings. And yeah, that was the year that Sam Bradford, Bob Stoops, and OU went to play Tim Tebow and Urban
Meyer.
Crabtree.
The dropped interception on the sideline. Remember ball?
No. That was the touchdown on the sidelines where no one pushed him out of bounds.
Just push him out of bounds. Get out of bounds.
Get out of bounds.
That was the dropped interception by, what's his name? BK?
BK, you would know.
Blake Gideon.
See, I don't like to go there with the kid, but
he knows he missed it. I mean, what's the big deal? Well, playing backyard. Your sister throws it to you.
The big deal would be if he catches that ball, they'll probably play for the national title that year. Almost certainly play for the national title that year.
Hey, things happen. It's football.
Things happen, I know.
Yeah, that wasn't
But you can't say, what's the big deal?
What's the big deal? That wasn't a game. They should have won the game before that. Game should have won.
Sure.
There were plays in the game.
Look, there were a million plays that decided that game. Texas fell down 19-0. Texas was lethargic in the first quarter. But the big deal would be that if he caught the ball,
You don't have to tell me. I got hammered for that. I got hammered on the radio. What are you making? What are you getting after the kid for? I said, I'm not getting after the kid. The kid's going to get after himself. He could have been playing with his sister in the backyard. She tosses it to him. He just catches it. That's all that was. It goes right through the wickets. He would have told you he should have had that, right?
People got mad at you for getting after the kid there?
Oh, my goodness. Because I said he should have had that ball. That was an because I always call the biggest play in football the missed interception.
I would
because you generally pay for that.
I would have encouraged people to break into his apartment and destroy everything in there.
No, no.
Of course you would have.
That's criminal.
But what he did was criminal.
So there's a line between you, what BK wanted to do, break in his house and break everything.
Right.
And you saying, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal would be that if he catches it, they play for the national title. That's kind of a big deal. It could have been Colt McCoy against Tim Tebow, St. Tim Tebow, for the national title.
All in all, Bob Stoops is tired. The game has worn him out. He's done this
That's
for
fair.
A very, very long
but I
time.
I think he'll refresh, recharge his battery, and when big jobs open, including the NFL, by the way, including the NFL.
When Bob Stoops starts getting up at 10:15 in the morning, you know what I'm saying? And not making that drive in to see all those other mug faces each and every day, and then having to hit Twitter and having to hit some other Is Joe Mixon? What has he done tonight? Let's get on the phone. He is going to say, I'm not coming back to this. Plus, he's got 70 in the bank.
I think if Notre Dame calls, if Brian Kelly gets blown out, watch out.
That guy's going to be on the third tee thinking every morning, oh, my goodness.
Notre Dame, though. Notre Dame, touchdown, Jesus calls. Guy grew up Catholic school, Cardinal Mooney High School in Youngstown.
And somebody wrote on here in the Specs text line, they said, well, there's a difference between living in Norman and then South Bend. I'm like, not much.
Really. Well, the only difference is Chicago is a couple hours away.
But there ain't really much in that city.
And Bob Stoops just bought a big house and their big condo in the Gold Coast region of Chicago, which is pretty sweet.
Ooh,
pretty sweet.
Let me tell you something right there.
Yeah.
Maybe Notre Dame.
$2.5 million. So now he's got a house in Florida. He's got a house in Chicago and that big mansion in Norman.
Dude, Charlie's was five here.
House? That's a big house, not far from our station.
Wow.
Big old house.
Five mil. Is that thing still out there in the market?
And by the way, I don't know if that's sold yet. Someone will let us know.
Five mil?
If
Cake Baker got a house for $5 million.
Well, there's a lot of easy bake ovens in there. He's got to bake some cake.
Good
so
God.
If Texas had actually played, so back to your not a big deal, Blake Gideon catches that ball and Texas plays for the national title. You know, they're facing Charlie Strong as the defensive coordinator of Florida at the time. That was Charlie Strong's defense.
And big Colt McCoy probably wins the Heisman that year,
yeah,
too,
right.
Over Sammy Bradford.
That's right. If he catches that ball, Colt McCoy probably wins the Heisman.
Okay, so it was a big deal. It was a little
bit. You know what? I'm going to go find the kid's house right now.
Stop it. Here's the thing is, I'm on the radio.
I love the kid.
And that morning, that next morning, I'm a little upset being a coach. I'm saying, you don't get an easier interception that happened. And people are saying, what are you, blaming
tipped,
the kid? And I'm like, no, I'm not blaming it. It didn't get tipped. That thing hit him right in the – his hands were out, and it hit him in the stomach and went through. And I said, let me tell you something. Blake Gideon went home that night and said, I should have had this ball. This is my ball.
I know he did.
But people are yelling at me because they're saying, you're blaming the kid. I said, I'm not blaming the kid. I'm like, the kid should have had that. You need to catch that football. That's how important it is. And now all of a sudden it's – I'm like, now I'm being like this. Oh, it wasn't the biggest play of the game. Oh, hell yeah, it was.
Oh, it was one of the bigger ones.
It was one of the bigger ones.
A lot of plays go into a football game. I get that. A lot of plays and players. But that's pretty big.
I got soft on myself all of a sudden. I got turned into a cake baker all of a sudden. It hit him in the wickets.
If Graham Harrell throws it right to you, probably ought to catch it. But this says it was tipped by Ed Britton. It was tipped. It was a very slight tip.
Oh, don't even start.
Just the tip.
It didn't have any tip to it.
That made it easier to catch.
It slowed down.
Yeah, it like fell in between. Oh.
And on TV, that thing was in such slow motion. It was like slow.
I've told this story many times. We were at our watch party at Doc's backyard, and the whole place erupted. Crazy. Because you didn't know. Originally, you thought he caught the ball. Everybody's jumping around, running around, high-fiving. Game was over. Oh, no. Didn't happen. And then everybody was bumming. All right, we'll come back. B&E on the horn. Talking Bob Stoops because Buck missed it last week. We're also talking all the events of the weekend. Game 5 tonight, NBA Finals. Can the Cavs keep the pressure and the momentum on? We'll talk about it coming back. Also, hit your salacious gossip and your blitz on a Monday. Bring it strong. The Buck is back. That means the blitz should be hopping. We're rolling with you on a Monday. It's 104.9. It's AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Must be early June, so we're talking and debating Texas football from 7 years ago, 8 years ago.
Wow. Those memories.
On the Blake Gideon play, the Texas Tech loss, Michael Crabtree, and what could have been. This is all related to Bob Stoops and him walking away from Oklahoma. This says, guys, funniest story from that night that Texas Tech beat Texas at our house. I call it the drop. As I thought Gideon had made the interception, my wife jumped into my arms. We were jumping up and down celebrating. Then someone said he dropped it, and I dropped my wife straight to the floor.
Oh!
Needless to say, she still hasn't let me forget that night. So tell me, you remember when...
It was a slow-motion deal. You thought it was a catch, too, right?
Oh, for sure. Everyone did. Because in real time, you didn't see the ball slip out from under him. But it looked like it ran right to him. The game was over. But it sounds like he and his wife were doing... Remember when Chris Christie and the Stephen and Jerry Jones were doing the jump up and down hug in the Cowboys suite?
The most uncomfortable thing I've ever seen in sports. Besides Tiger Woods and his caddy trying to high-five that time. That's the second most uncomfortable thing. When Chris Christie had that big old red sweater on, right?
Yeah. And Jerry Sweet and Jerry and Steven, they're jumping up and down.
And they're hugging. Oh, yeah, he was like in the middle of the hug.
Oh, yeah, it was the bro hug.
Oh, gross.
The jump bro hug.
Oh.
Everybody was doing that all over Austin when that went down, and then they weren't. Then they were upset. All right, game number 5 tonight of the NBA Finals. We'll continue to preview it, and I think we both picked the Warriors and BK as well. In game 4, here's some of the interesting numbers from game 4. If you missed it, because Buck, you were knee deep in fish camp and fish fries and whatever else. But the Kyrie Irving was incredible. He scored 40 points. He made 7 of the Cavs' 24 three-pointers, which is pretty ridiculous. Remember, he was 0 for 7 from deep in game 3. So obviously he came back, and because that's really what Cleveland did was attack Golden State at their own game, hitting the three balls. I mean, 24 of them, and they outscored the Golden State Warriors 72-33 from beyond the arc. Really was the difference in the basketball game. LeBron James had 31 points, 10 assists, and 10 rebounds, or 11 assists, 10 rebounds. His 9th finals triple-double. Also in the game, though, there were 7 technical fouls called. It got really chippy in the third quarter. Overall, 51 fouls were called. And the whole Draymond Green thing, he was briefly ejected. BK, I was watching this game at our hotel live, but there was no sound, so I couldn't really understand it. What was the deal? Because he threw an elbow, and it looked like they would throw him out, and then they didn't. What went down with that whole Draymond Green thing?
Yeah, it was a mess. So I think the elbow happened in the first half, and we thought he got a tech for that. And in the second half, he complained after a call. He didn't even complain that much, but got another tech. Everyone assumed he had already had one tech. He got another tech. Everyone assumed he was ejected. You saw Steve Kerr argue about it. Draymond was arguing about it. And then you see the refs all of a sudden go to the scorer's table. After the TV broadcast is pretty much says he's ejected, they go to the scorer's table, and all of a sudden you see Draymond's not ejected. So apparently the first half tech was on Steve Kerr. It wasn't on Draymond Green for the elbow he threw. It was on Steve Kerr complaining about the call, which was clearly a foul. Should have been a tech, let alone a common foul. But everybody had assumed it was on, and I think the refs even said it was on Draymond in the first half, and they're just like, oh no, we're just going to go ahead and change our minds here. So the first half tech was on Steve Kerr.
I got you.
This is the first tech on Draymond. So it made absolutely no sense. The refs got it wrong. And, you know, the Warriors have been so dominant the first 3 games, the refs haven't been able to be a story. And the Cavs ended up winning by 20, and that helped Golden State.
So they need to get into the act.
But it felt like, it was the first time this series that the refs have really gotten into the act.
But it was also the first time in this series where Cleveland got physical with Golden State. Like, they attacked Golden State. They weren't backing down. And, you know, Golden State fans would say that Richard Jefferson and those guys and Shumpert got away with murder on Steph Curry, but they were just physical with him, and they let him play.
Well, that's how they got him last year. They pushed him around and got him off his spots. Well,
you know, when you heard Tyronn Lue, look, here's the thing. Tyronn Lue after the game said, you know, we finally played like we weren't afraid of them, and we weren't in awe of them. This is who we need to be. Well, remember, after game 1, Tyronn Lue saying that's the best team we've ever played. After game 3, LeBron James saying, I've never played a game team with more firepower. Well, that's how they were playing. Like, you know, we can't hang with this team. What they did in game 4 was attack. And Shumpert and Jefferson were real physical with Steph Curry. All of a sudden, Tristan Thompson started banging around with Draymond Green. LeBron was incredible, as usual. But that's what they have to keep doing. I don't know if it'll be enough at Oracle Arena. Can we hear from LeBron James on game 5 this year, game 5 last year? They're down 3-1. They came all the way back. Here's LeBron.
It's the same challenges, you know, especially being in this building. We knew coming into game five last year, if we don't protect the ball and we don't limit their three-point shooting, then we can get blown out the window and blown out this arena. And it's the same way. If we don't protect the three-point line and if we turn the ball over, then we won't stand a chance. So, you know, we know what our keys to victory is. That's going to give us the best possible chance to you know, go back home with a game six. And if we don't stick to that game plan, then we'll be going back home without a game.
See, that is... It'll be interesting tonight because this is obviously either going to be the end of the series or all of a sudden does doubt creep into Golden State knowing they have to go back to Cleveland.
There's doubt that creeps in if they lose this game, which I don't think they will. I mean, LeBron the other night when they were down 3-0, just the way he sounded was like, I mean, this is the best. They kept on talking about how this is the best team they've ever seen. This is the best group assembled in basketball ever. And they played that game. They played their three games that way. And on, I guess, game three, they were right in game three. They could have won that game. I saw there was one time it was a 7-point lead with like 5 minutes to go in a game. And I said, the Cavs are going to hold on and get this game. And Kevin Durant stuck them. And I think Kevin Durant sticks them tonight.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you're a Cleveland fan, you're saying, man, what could have been in game two? If we hold on to that 6-point lead, now it's 2-2 and anybody's ball game. We could even go out here and lose and come back for game six. And but they didn't. They coughed it up. And you also have to give Kevin Durant credit because the Warriors went and got it. Lockdown on defense, and you know, we're the fresher team. And again, I think to this conversation, you have to put in there that Golden State was a little bit complacent to start the game. They gave up 49 first quarter points. 49. That tells me that was a team that was a little bit flat-footed, a little bit happy with themselves that they won the game before and they're up 3-0. But it cost them because they end up losing a basketball game. And tonight becomes the big deal. If they go back and erase that tonight and play like they had and win it, and they win it in five, no big deal. But if they lose... Yeah, then all of a sudden the mental doubt creeps in. And
has to.
Uh-oh, we did this last year, but they still have Kevin Durant. They still have Steph Curry.
Different world with Durant.
But if Cleveland plays physical, plays that aggressive style, I think it'll be a much better basketball game. Can we hear some of this from Tyronn Lue? I think his team was getting tired of getting pushed around and being in awe of the team they were playing. Here's Tyronn Lue.
Me personally, I liked it. You know, I thought the first two games were being too nice. The first three games, helping guys up off the floor, smiling, talking to guys, and... Yeah, I didn't like that, so I'll take game four over anything else. So, you know, talking trash, being physical, whatever you got to do to try to get that edge to win, you got to do it.
Nice. Don't help him off the floor. Don't be smiling at people.
Why?
Smack him around. Draymond did. How about Zaza Pachulia? He was the guy trying to take gonadial shots.
Can't do that, man. Under the undercarriage, under the bucket, don't do that.
Yeah, man, you can't take swipes at a guy's...
Don't do that.
Nether regions.
Mm-mm.
That dude sucks.
He does. Hey, guys, good, the bad, and ugly. See this? Patriots trolling the Falcons with their Super Bowl rings. Did you see this, Buck?
No.
The new Super Bowl ring is out.
I saw that ring. It's gorgeous.
There are 283 diamonds, okay?
Almost as many as I got in my Lake Travis ring.
283 diamonds in each ring. Well, what does 283 signify? Remember at one point it was 28-3?
Yes.
28-3 Falcons. Any coincidence? There are 283 diamonds.
See, that's just wrong.
Awesome.
Oh.
That is awesome.
Oh, man. This says the NBA loses too much money when there is a sweep. Uh-oh.
That doesn't make any sense because that call helped Golden State. Like, you know, Draymond stayed in the game, so that would have prevented the sweep. But good try, all the conspiracies out there.
Yeah, either way. I mean, yes.
But we've already said they can't have a four-game sweep.
They were a little whistle-happy early, and then they lost control of the game a little bit. But either way, you know, this says Durant turned into a habanero-infused cupcake. Well, it was just one game. Golden State hadn't lost in the playoffs. That was their first. That's what was significant about that for me on that Friday night was that was their first loss with the Big Four on the floor since February 4th. First time they've lost a game.
Curry will be doing his shoulder shrug, high step. KD will be pointing at everybody tonight. They'll beat Cavs down.
Yeah, KD was the only Warrior really showed up to play. I mean, he had 35 points in the last game. He was he got to the line 16 times, was 15 to 16 there. He showed
Cupcake,
up.
Showed up.
Cupcake was there, but you know, Steph was 4 of 13, Klay was 4 of 11, Draymond should have gotten ejected like four different times and somehow didn't. I mean, you know, nobody else really did a whole lot outside of KD.
Different team when they're at home.
All right, let's load up some salacious gossip. We'll also load up your blitz, meaning welcome the Buck back from Fish Camp.
Yeah.
Fish Camp with a bunch of
Stink Camp.
Stink camp, bunch of dudes.
Sleep camp.
What do you like? Is it like a bunkhouse up there?
Yeah, with bunk beds.
And dudes snoring and...
Farting.
You guys are eating fish and beans.
Chewing tobacco.
Oh.
I mean, everything. You know
what that place stunk like?
Dude, can you imagine?
Fish smell.
Can you imagine being around there and everybody has some kind of spit can hanging around and you grabbed the wrong can?
I did that in college a few times. Both my roommates.
Times? Do you
twice.
Know, did you throw
twice.
Up each time, right? You threw up right away, didn't you? You had to throw up.
You almost made me throw up just then.
That's what I'm saying.
Stop.
That's got to be the worst thing in the world.
It is the worst thing in the world. But you got to stop.
Somebody left one on the counter at fish camp, and it dropped and hit the floor, and it hit me, and it got all over my shirt and stuff. It was like toxic. I had to get out of my clothes, like right on the scene.
You guys ever...
Oh, and by the way, you know how I sleep, right? You know how I sleep, B.
How do you sleep? Naked?
Yeah.
Oh, you're gross.
Yeah, I jumped up at fish camp and tried to get in the top bunk with my man Paul, Duckboat Paul.
You put your junk in his face?
I didn't put my junk. I just tried to get in bed. I said, you know what? It's cold up here. Let's spoon. He was not down with that.
Dude, you're gross.
At 7 in the morning.
That's the grossest thing ever.
Well, dudes, they're all drunk.
Why are you naked?
I sleep naked.
Not with 16 guys in a room.
I still sleep naked. I sleep naked all the time. I don't care where I am. I got to take my clothes off or I can't go to sleep.
That's a horrible thing. I'm just saying.
And fish camp, what does that make a difference? I still can't sleep
naked?
With the clothes. Well, there's one other guy. I can't say his name because I don't want to say his name because he owns Guero's, but I'm not going to say his name.
Oh.
But I can't. But he's known to sleep like that. A lot of people can't sleep with the clothes on.
The birthday suit?
I got my suit on, but you know, when
you're climbing up on the top bunk like some kind of like animal or something?
Yeah, like a little animal. I look like a little animal.
Like Curious George or something?
Yeah. Well, why'd I have to be Curious George? I mean, why can't I be like a zebra or something?
Because you're brown and you're naked and you're climbing up on this dude.
Because you're brown and you're naked. What do you think? I was going to swing from it or something? My goodness, no.
No, I'm talking about you putting your privates in this dude's face, climbing that bunk bed. He's laying on the bed going, wait a second, dude.
Like when you're at fish camp, you know the universe is every guy's bathroom.
I know.
So around every corner, you know, there's a guy, you know, just
peeing off the pier,
peeing off the side, peeing off the whatever. And so I'm sleeping naked. I mean, I've showered with men before.
Well, yeah,
we grew up showering with dude, right?
I got you.
So what's the big deal?
It's not a big deal.
Once again, you and BK getting a little homophobic again.
No, I'm not.
Big and little, because the guy's a naked man.
You know, I know you're gay.
If all of the dudes were naked, then we might have like...
That's different.
Like
now, that's
a
problem. That's not a fish camp any long. That's not any longer. That's not fish camp if all the guys are naked.
That could be a problem. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
There's anything wrong with that.
I wouldn't go to that summer camp. I don't even
we'll
talk about
back
that.
When we do Salacious Gossip. I'll have a story in Salacious Gossip on a guy I went to college with and his spit cups. It's horrifying. All right, we'll come back. It's just Curious Bucky.
Oh, man. That was the most disgusting trip.
P&E on the horn. Salacious Gossip. Load up the blitz. 447-3776. Coming right back.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
All right. Salacious Gossip always presented by Bud Light. Hope you had a great Bud Light weekend. I certainly did down in Corpus. Played a little golf. You certainly did. And you didn't. But all your buddies were pounding the Bud Lights down at fish camp. I'd have been drinking a lot if I knew you were going to be sleeping naked above me in your bunk bed.
Might as well be drunk, right?
Might as well sleep. Hey, how about this? Tiger Woods, y'all. According to Radar Online. Radar Online. Entering rehab after his recent arrest.
I wish him luck if that's what he's really doing.
Me
it,
too.
But it's not from TMZ, so I'm not buying.
According to sources, the golf legend who was busted in the wee hours of May 29th has reserved the entire male inpatient unit at the Jupiter Medical Center near his Florida mansion. Got the whole inpatient unit. Says Tiger visited the hospital with his two children on June 2nd, then went alone 2 days later to complete the paperwork and his assessment. According to that clause, if Tiger gets caught up in that scandal, he could be faced losing 20% custody of his kids that he already has.
That's true.
Yeah. So, we'll see. Painkillers, Vicodin. He also was taking Ambien that night, it appears. Nah, good luck to him. Good luck to him. And Tiger Woods, this is the week that the U.S. Open, of course, tees off on Thursday at Aaron Hills.
Pressure to win again.
Hey, remember the former NBA player Sebastian Telfair? Remember this kid? High school phenom. 32 years old now. Telfair and an 18-year-old man were busted by Brooklyn PD in Sunday in possession of four firearms, three pistols, and what appears to be a semi-automatic rifle. Look at that picture. Look at that arsenal they have.
Where were they going?
I don't know.
Fish camp?
Jeez. Cops say he was also carrying a ton of rounds for the guns, as well as marijuana. Cops also found a bulletproof vest in the Ford pickup truck, which reportedly carried Florida plates. That is craziness. That's some real live.
That is crazy.
Yeah, going to battle.
He was a little. He was a little loony coming out, right?
Sebastian Telfair.
Yeah. He was a young high school. Was he the high school kid?
Yeah, high school kid out of the Brooklyn area. I mean, there's covers of him and LeBron James on the same magazine.
That's true.
Like, these dudes are the future of the NBA. Well, yeah. They got one right.
Well, at least one is right. You're right.
Sebastian Telfair. Hey, how about one note that someone mentioned? Salacious gossip or rumor, or is the NBA rigged? This guy says, the only stat you need to know about game four, the Cavaliers shot 22 free throws in the first quarter. Which is true. That's an NBA record. New league record.
Yeah, it's
in the playoffs.
I'm debating this dude on the text line. He claims it's rigged. He claims the refs are the reason the Cavs hit 24 threes, man. It's all the refs' fault. Don't forget the Cavs are a pretty damn good team, too. It's the only game in
the
series they're going to win.
They're the defending champs.
They won a game fair and square. Don't
and I believe
blame the refs.
And I believe, and I'm away from what I said originally, but, yeah, I believe that was their win, and I don't think they're going to win tonight.
All right, so gossip or rumor, that's what we do. Salacious Gossip presented by Bud Light. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Let's dive into the Blitz. The Bucky's back.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Here we go. First Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky.
Yeah.
Fish time, did you catch a lot of fish with
Chloe
Stankbait?
Oh, Stankbait.
Man, some of that bait smelled like that, too.
Like the Kardashians?
Oh, yeah. It was awful when it sits in there. The shrimp sit in there for a while.
Oh.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
The only way University of Oklahoma will return to the top in Lincoln Riley is if they run the wishbone. Also, I created the Black Athlete. This is Barry Switzer.
Thank you.
He did create the Black Athlete.
He created him. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky and Bato. Hey, I'm a little verklempt today because we lost Batman. But, hey, guess what? We got Bucky back. And, Bucky, I'm with you. I think we're going to go 14-0 with Coach Hermans if he can recover from that locker kickback that happened to him a while
that
back.
That kickback.
Did he use the word verklempt in the blitz?
Yes.
Wow.
And he said Coach Hermans. Why does he keep putting an S on his last name?
I don't know.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Oh, Bucky, please, you didn't tell me. These women at the luncheon that you're pubing the mattress with men. Oh, disgusting.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't understand a word.
I didn't get that. Next Blitzer, you're up.
So you're telling me that the NBA would lose about a combined revenue of $50 million for just one more game, and it's not rigged?
Here's the text. What happened in the first three rounds? Why didn't they rig the Warriors then?
I don't know.
Come on, man.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, what's the difference between the Stanley Cup Final and fish camp?
What's that?
Aren't any Blackhawks out at the Stanley Cup Final.
No Blackhawks. Love it. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Bucky and E.
What's happening?
So Tyronn Lue was trying to tell him he needs more dogs in the house, no more pussycats. Meow, meow.
That's true.
You need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Meow, meow.
Looking all good.
Looking all good.
Next Blitzer.
Wristbands.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hi, Coach Cobble.
Yes.
Well, I'll let you know that I'm returning Norman this morning, and considering how you did with Coach Makovic there as running back coach, I'd like to hire you on my staff. This is Gary Gibbs.
Gary Gibbs.
Oh, wow. Upside down.
Do we have a Gary Gibbs?
Gary Gibbs,
he was way back there
in Oklahoma in the 90s. Yeah. Hey, by the way, Vince Young, Saskatchewan played a preseason game over the weekend, and Vince Young did not play. Hammy.
They only have one more game, That hammy's got to heal up because they only have one more preseason game.
Better get that really difficult job he has on the 40 acres.
But here's the deal. A guy named Brandon Bridge and a guy named Brian Bennett had a chance to seal the deal as the backup quarterback, but neither played that great. But if they had played well, Vince Young could get cut this week.
I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen.
Because Kevin Glenn is going to be their starting quarterback.
Well, you told me he wasn't going to Saskatchewan to be a backup.
Yeah, well, that's what he's right now. He's the best he could do is the backup.
That's the best he's going
to
do,
right? To a guy named Kevin Glenn, but a guy named Brandon Bridge has the inside track. Bridge went 20 of 26 for 201 and a touchdown.
So back to stakes, doing stakes.
Back to UT.
He's got a steak place too. Everything's good.
Hey, he made a run at it. We'll see. Now he's got to have a great week. He's got to have a great week. Plus, he's got the hamstring thing going.
That's tough.
We'll be back. B&E on the horn on a Monday.